Well, last week, I started a series of sermons for this Advent season in which I am attempting to reclaim certain words of faith that we have perhaps lost somewhere along the way. Now, let me repeat, though, that by saying reclaim, I am not envisioning myself as a soldier fighting to win back some strategic location to reclaim it for our side. I'm not playing capture the flag. Instead, I am picturing something more appropriate for this time of year, when loved ones seek to make their way home. From this perspective, to reclaim is to welcome back someone who is like family, to open the door with hugs and warmth, and thus enfold someone who has been distant back into our hearth and home. Now, I began this reclamation project 7 days ago by welcoming home two words, prophecy and repentance. Now, these words have had either fairly negative or somewhat strange press lately. I sought to see them from the larger perspective of God's Word. Now, I'm not sure how well I welcomed them home, however. See, one of the struggles of preaching is that you never feel like you've said all that should be said. Now, I know sometimes we need to be quiet. Of course, you know, God has yet to completely shut my mouth. It's bound to happen sooner or later. You know, perhaps some wish that that would come sooner than later, right? But this makes me think of dear old Zechariah, the dad of John the Baptist. Now, we heard the dramatized, paraphrased, slightly bridged version of his story leading up to the gospel reading for this morning. His only recorded sermon, if you will. Now, thank you, Grace and Gary, for doing this so well. It needs to be repeated that God completely shut Zechariah's mouth for at least how many months? 9 months. Now, that might not have been a bad thing for his wife Elizabeth. You know, how many women, after all, desire from their husbands that they would just listen? I mean, listen. Put that down. Now, it doesn't say that Zechariah really listened to his wife for that time period. But a child was born, and it wasn't an immaculate conception. Well, speaking of birth, as an aside, this is a time of year for sensitive and listening hearts, especially so. The season is so geared to family, wrapped up as it is with a nativity story, that we can forget those for whom having children is still an unfulfilled wish. This is a difficult time of year for those like Elizabeth and Zechariah who struggle with fertility, or those without a partner. It is a prayer for all of us, and not just some of us, that God would give birth to something new in our lives, that in fact we might be born from above in order to receive what God wishes to give. With this, we're not talking about babies, but rather new life in Christ. Christmas is for all of God's people, not just for those who fit the demographics. Well, back to Zechariah. As I said, his mouth was shut for a long time. Scripture says that this was because he didn't believe that it was possible for him and his elderly wife to conceive and give birth. He doubted the promise. How many of our mouths are silenced because of doubt? The truth is, doubt is a fact of life. Furthermore, it is an integral part of a life of faith. Now, remember that story in the Gospels of that father with an epileptic child who brought him to Jesus for healing? "Have pity on us and help us," he cried to the Lord, a request probably made many times before by this man in his as yet unanswered prayer. All things can be done for the one who believes, Jesus responded, to which the Father uttered the words that are on all of our hearts. I believe, help thou my unbelief. We can keep from speaking things that need to be said because we allow doubt to shut our mouths. After all, how do we really know whether what we say is really true? You know, we feel it in our bones, but we don't give it voice. Who really wants to hear what we have to say, what we believe anyway? The world is full of everybody speaking their mind, sometimes ad nauseum. How important is just one voice anyway? Especially my voice. Do you hear doubt creeping in those words? Now I'm branching over into territory covered by the words I'd like us to welcome home today. What is evangelism, after all, but giving voice to something good that you feel in your very bones, the core of who you are? Literally, the word evangelism means sharing good news. That's it. We have clouded it up with all sorts of preconceived notions that such sharing has to happen in certain ways by certain people. But it doesn't. That in and of itself is good news. Now we can receive training in all sorts of methods for doing evangelism, and these can be very worthwhile and helpful. However, if we allow the need for such training to shut our mouths, to prevent us from simply sharing the good news of Christ, the news that is in our very bones, well, those methods do us and others harm. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell good news. We don't even have to have it all figured out beforehand. Sometimes the most effective evangelists are those who have recently discovered Jesus. They don't know better than to allow this good news to just kind of bubble over into everyday conversation. They don't know all the methods. Neither do they know all the answers. They don't know enough to doubt what they've experienced. They just know that they have found something good, and they want to share it. Oh, to be so naive. Now, it's said that there comes a second naivete for us all. Even those who move through the critical questions of faith, who realize that things aren't as simple as they seem, who deal with the doubt, which is an integral part of faith. God does bring us round to a fresh time of being able to share that which is in our very bones. God opens our mouths. Yes, we know a lot about the skeletal structure of our faith. We've even struggled with many of the skeletons in our closet. However, God gives us a voice, and we don't have to be a preacher to speak. Now, as Ecclesiastes, who is also known in the Old Testament as the preacher, as Ecclesiastes once said, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, including a time to keep silence and a time to speak. That was certainly true for Zechariah, the priest, the father of John the Baptist. His mouth was shut for at least 9 months. All he could do during that time of silence was just experience it all. Now, the same is true for this thing we call evangelism. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, some Christians don't quite have this concept down. Evangelism, I believe, is a bit like prayer. A good portion of prayer is silence, just being open for God to speak in whatever way God speaks. Listening. Often, evangelism is like an echo. We remember that there is no place to which we go, no person that we encounter, that Christ has not been there first. And we recognize him there. We hear a refrain that we've heard before. We see something in another person's life that looks familiar. The bubbling up of God's kingdom. And our voice can't help but arise in echo. Of course, there are times when evangelism is a confrontation. That is, it is a voice counter to the bad news around us. Like the son of Zechariah, ours may be like, quote, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. But even when standing up and speaking God's news to those who don't want to hear it, our voices are but an echo of a greater voice. Jesus told his disciples, when they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, the authorities, don't worry about how you're to defend yourselves or what you're to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. Or to put it a bit differently, your words will echo what God is already saying. That's true for times of trial, when we may be judged for what we say, as well as for everyday sharing of good news. The best testimonies are those that come from the heart. I love that line from the old hymn, through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Now, did I just use the word testimony? Now, there's one we may not be all that comfortable with. Maybe it's for the same reason as why evangelism rubs us the wrong way. We have a preconceived notion of what testimony is all about. In reality, testimony is a cousin of evangelism. Strictly speaking, it is bearing witness. As in telling what you have seen, what you have experienced. In a courtroom, a witness gives testimony to something they were there to see or hear. They aren't asked to give testimony to that which they have not experienced. Now, this week, I received the testimony of a brother in the Lord. Oh, I went to visit him in preparation for some outpatient surgery that he was to undergo the next day. I was there to minister to him, but he ended up ministering to me. He spoke of how God had taken care of him through some pretty rough times in the past few years. And I confessed in our sharing my own struggle, trying to figure out where the Lord is leading me right now, wondering what's going to happen to me down the road. His testimony was like a fresh breath of air, something I needed to hear on that day. Do you think the Holy Spirit was somehow involved? Now, testimony doesn't have to be highly dramatic. It can be just a simple bearing witness to God's goodness and mercy. You do notice in our bulletin that our time of sharing joys and concerns in worship is also intended for, quote, a word of testimony or praise. Do you read that line? It is not merely a time to recite our own aches and pains or the trials and troubles of others. While these burdens do need to be lifted up, do need to be shared, we also need to speak of how we have experienced God at work in and around us. We need to give echo to God's song that we've been singing. How can we keep from doing so? Now, our final hymn, if you look at the bottom of the page upon which it is printed, is based on what Zechariah said. Once God opened his mouth. And you know what? It's a blessing. That's what evangelism and testimony should be also, don't you think? A blessing. Let's allow Zechariah now to have the final word. Please rise in body or spirit and let's sing number 174, Blessed be the God of Israel.